Bobby Cohen is back, and his show is Takeover Talk. And here is Bobby Cohen.
Thank you to all my listeners. It's Monday, February 11th, and today is another live hour of Takeover Talk. I'm your host, Bobby Cohen. I welcome all my listeners here in the United States, as well as those worldwide. Our focus will be to assist you in acquiring the most current and comprehensive information on potential public takeover targets in the U.S. capital markets. Remember, I'm just guiding you to this information. You need to do your own due diligence before buying or selling any stock. M&A, which is the acronym for mergers and acquisitions, is unpredictable, and it's usually not in the best interest to acquire stocks solely because rumors are percolating. You have to like it as a standalone company as well. Okay. Like I mentioned, today's February 11th, and today is another live power hour of Takeover Talk. I have a special guest that will be calling in shortly. You don't want to miss this. Okay. Let me get this in. Last week, there was a huge bank merger, regional bank merger, BB&T, merging with SunTrust. I have received so many emails, text messages, and phone calls from people asking me, Bobby, if this is the beginning of possibly merger mania in the regional bank sector, can you please give us some names that could be next? Okay, get your pencil and piece of paper now. I found an Investor Place February 8th article. Headline, 7 bank stocks to buy after the BB&T SunTrust mega merger. Underneath it, it says, which big banks are about to get acquired next? Okay, I have 7 of them for you to jot down. Do your own due diligence and your own homework on these names. Okay, here you go. The first one, Huntington Bank Shares. Symbol, Harry Boy Adam Nancy. That's Huntington Bank Shares. Number 2 on the list, Chemical Financial. Symbol, Charlie, Harry, Frank, Charlie. Number three, New York Community Bancorp. Symbol, Nancy, yellow, Charlie, boy. Next, one I had mentioned a few months past, Zions Bancorp, hailing from Salt Lake City. Zions Bancorp symbol. Zebra, Ida, Oscar, Nancy. Next, PacWest Bancorp. Symbol, Paul, Apple, Charlie, Willie. That's moving west now. PacWest Bancorp, Paul, Oscar, Charlie, Willie. Next on the list, People's United Financial, PBCT. That's People's United Financial. P, B, C, T. So, and that's really the ones that are, that you should put on your radar screen. Let's run them by you one last time. People's United Financial, PBCT. PacWest Bancorp, Paul, Oscar, Charlie, Willie. Zions Bancorp, Zion. New York Community Bancorp, NYCB. That's Nancy Yellow, Charlie Boy. Chemical Financial, Charlie, Harry, Frank, Charlie. And HBAN, Huntington Bank Shares. Put those on your radar screen as potential takeover targets in the regional bank sector. Now, do we have a caller? Doug, do we have a caller? Okay, I thought I had heard we had a caller, but not yet. I am waiting for this special guest to call in. And a little background on my special guest. My special guest, just trying to, is the chief analyst of the Cabot Undervalued Stock Advisor. Her name is Krista Huff. She should be calling in momentarily. And we have some very, very good things to discuss. Well, let's get into the tall weeds for a brief moment until Krista calls in. I had gotten one or two emails recently in reference to allergen. symbol A G N. The pharmaceutical company that manufactures Botox, along with many other drugs that they have FDA approval on. Allergan is trading at approximately $133. There has been plenty of takeover chatter on Allergan over the last few years. I do think right now we have a caller. And Krista, is that you? Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Hi, Krista. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, I was just mentioning to my listeners that you were going to be calling in. I had mentioned that, again, to all my listeners, this is my special guest, Krista Huff. Krista is the chief analyst of the Cabot Undervalued Stock Advisor, where
I believe
Krista combines a strict fundamental methodology with technical analysis to identify growth and value stocks whose charts are turning bullish. Now, I know, Krista, you have spent over 20 years working for large global corporations, including 13 years at Morgan Stanley, where you were a vice president and financial advisor. And as well, back in 2011, you had also launched a stock market website, Goodfellow. Welcome to the show, Krista.
Thank you so much, Bobby. How are you today?
I'm doing fabulous. And let's get into the tall weeds. Why don't you share with all my listeners, what is it that you do over at Cabot Undervalued Stock Advisor?
Okay, I write a stock market newsletter, and it's aimed towards people who want growth stocks, but they want to minimize risk. So we emphasize both growth and value so that they're not getting high PE stocks, companies losing money, et cetera. So I pick out stocks that have strong earnings growth, low price earnings ratios, and low debt ratios, basically really strong balance sheets. And then I try to buy them when the price chart looks like either it's at the bottom of the trading range or it's about to break out and have a run-up, just to optimize the near-term performance if possible.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Now, I know you and I had spoken off show before, and I had mentioned to you my show is Takeover Talk, and I look to identify potential takeover targets for all my listeners, not only here in the United States, but also worldwide. You had mentioned to me that you kind of have a footprint, you believe, and I'll let you talk about it, that's similar to possibly how a corporation would do their due diligence in finding a company that maybe they would want to get taken over. So you said you have a similar footprint when looking for, you know, when you're doing your homework, doing your due diligence. So maybe you could take that one step further.
Sure. If you can picture yourself being a large company, a lot of times they want to buy a company that has a product that fits well with what they've currently got, or maybe it's a large company that isn't growing very fast. And once earnings slow down, the share price isn't going to grow rapidly anymore. So a lot of times they want to buy a smaller, faster-growing company to really bump up the earnings. And I'm investing in those smaller companies with strong earnings growth. So, and again, picture you're the big company. You don't want to buy little companies that have a lot of debt. So I'm concentrating on little companies with far less debt. So if you've got strong earnings growth and very little debt, the big company can come in and buy you, and they know in advance this is going to work out pretty darn well for us. And so because my screening process is somewhat similar to what the big companies are looking for, I tend to have more takeover stocks in my portfolios at Cabot than the average investment portfolio might hold. And it started becoming such a thing at Cabot that then they began publishing takeover stock reports from me separate from my normal newsletter. And so far in the 17 stocks that I've featured in those takeover reports, four of them have been bought out. That's a pretty strong percentage just since August 2017. So a year and a half, and I have 25% of my recommendations bought out already.
That's just fabulous. And like I always say, takeovers are alive and well. And, you know, and there's almost no better feeling than when you wake up in the morning as an investor and all of a sudden you turn on the TV or you turn on your computer and bingo, one of your companies has gotten taken over at a handsome premium. I mean, that's kind of the whole genesis behind my show, Takeover Talk. But, you know, to be able to engage with people such as you that do the heavy lifting, that really, you know, that does the homework, that does the due diligence. Look, we all know making money in the stock market, it ain't easy. Am I right? It's not easy. You have to do your homework. Correct, Krista?
Right, and you need patience. You need to be unemotional.
Yes. I always mention, and you and I had this conversation as well, it's great if there is takeover chatter on companies or a specific company in the portfolio, but at the end of the day, what's paramount is you have to like it as a standalone, correct? You have to do your own due diligence, your own homework first, and then if there's takeover chatter, wow, that's extra. Am I right?
Right. Make sure the stock fits your basic investment strategy, because if it doesn't get taken over, you're stuck with it, so you better like it.
That is correct. Now, could you mention in your portfolio that things that you had currently mentioned or still on your radar screen that since inception of you talking about it, you noticed front and center that there is some takeover chatter in any of the stocks that you have that you had mentioned to your client base?
You know, one of the areas where there's a lot of takeover activity in general is with the pharmaceutical companies, and I have two pharmaceutical companies in my Cabot portfolios right now. And both of them have very strong earnings growth, which, you know, is slightly unusual because a lot of times they just take losses year after year. So imagine buying a company that not only has this excellent drug that fits with your bigger company's portfolio, but you're going to make profit right away because it's a profitable company. So I have two of those, Supernus Pharmaceuticals and Alexion Pharmaceuticals. One of them small cap. Alexion is on the lower end of the large cap range. And even the big brokerage firms talk about Alexion being a great takeover target. So if you want a growth and value stock that could become a takeover target, Alexion and Supernus are excellent choices. And what I do find also is that industries tend to have these, like a spurt of takeover activity all at once. A couple of years ago, I had several chemical companies in a row that got bought out, and now it's happening in the banking industry. So people should definitely look at small and mid-cap banks to see what might be bought out next.
Yes, I just so you know, before you hopped on the call, to call in, I mentioned six or seven potential takeover targets in the regional banking sector just before you called in, because I had been getting hit with lots of emails, text messages, and phone calls, people, you know, reading about the mega merger of BB&T and SunTrust. And of course, the next question everyone had was, Bobby, could you give me a list of names that I could put on my radar screen as potential takeover targets in that sector? So, yes, I particularly did mention a handful of names. But getting back to the two biotechs, I, too, had identified Alexion, the symbol ALXN, as a potential takeover target. Could you give the symbol of the other name to my listeners?
Yes. SUP, like if you're spelling the word super, SUPN as in Nancy.
SUPN. Is that it? Sam,
right.
Uncle Paul, Nancy? Sam, Uncle Paul, Nancy. Okay.
That's right. And if anyone looks at the price chart right now, you're going to see, wow, this stock began its January rebound like most stocks did. Then it traded sideways since about the second week in January, and I believe it's getting ready for another run-up. And because it's a small-cap stock, run-ups can be sort of long. It won't just be 8% or 12%. I'm expecting the run-up to take the stock maybe from 38 all the way to 48, just depending on how bullish the market activity is at the same exact time. Because if you get a bull run in the market at the same time that your particular stock starts going up, that just compounds your potential short-term profit.
Yes. I mean, again, I also have found that the biotech sector is definitely a robust place to find potential takeover targets as well. And names that I had mentioned that I had identified were companies such as Clovis Oncology, CLVS, Portolo Pharmaceuticals, PTLA, names like that I had mentioned to my listeners to also put on their radar screen, because as you and I know, Krista, that oftentimes when there is a bid in the biotech sector, the premiums are significant, as we've seen recently with Loxo Oncology getting taken over by Eli Lilly at a handsome premium, especially Tesaro getting taken over at a huge premium by Galaxo a few months ago as well, and just a few weeks ago, the mega merger, the daddy of all mergers in biotech as of now, was the Celgene getting taken over by Bristol Myers, correct?
That was a big one.
So that was a big
one. One important thing for investors, when they get the price, like when they own the takeover stock and then they get the news, okay, it's being bought out at $63 a share, it's really important for the investor to look at that $63 number and decide whether they're going to take the money and run, because usually the price does not go up from there. But a lot of times investors get caught in and saying, oh, 63 isn't enough, it should be more. You know what? If you're a random investor, you know what? Even I am a random investor. I have no reason to believe that $63 number is going to suddenly shoot up to 74. And so what I suggest to people is take the money and run. And if you have a lot of experience, you can look at the nuances of the transactions to determine what might happen next. But if you don't know what's going to happen next, take that money and run, because the deal could fall through and your 63 could fall right back down to 42 where it was the day before.
You know what? I concur on that. And also, if I could throw in, also, even if the deal doesn't fall through, and most deals do not, you're still stuck with what's called the time value of money. Am I right? and right, where you could be right. used, where if you sold it, you could then put that money towards something else, which at that moment, that second, may be more productive for you as an investor, correct?
Right, because there's only a chance that your money will keep going up from the 63, but if you sell and put that money into a stock with a bullish price chart, you could keep that money going up tomorrow and the next day and the next month.
Right, right. So, yes, I totally agree with you in reference that, you know what, take the money and run. That's usually, 9 out of 10 times, if not more, probably the way to go. Now, moving forward, you had mentioned since the regional banks got the shot in the arm last week by the BB&T SunTrust mega merger, is there any names that you could mention to my listeners that maybe I have not mentioned that they should jot down and put on their radar screen? Are there any names that jump out?
I will give you a name. It came from a famous investment firm, and I can't name the firm because I'm not allowed to publicly share their research. People who have accounts there can read the research. Anyway, so this famous investment firm sliced and diced all the small and mid-cap banks quite a few months ago, determining, okay, when the takeover activity begins, which ones are most likely to be bought out. And just about the number one firm that they named out of dozens that they analyzed was First Horizon National Corp. And the symbol is FHN, as in Frank, Harry, Nancy.
Frank, Harry, Nancy, First Horizon. I'm sorry, what is that called? First?
Yep. First Horizon National.
First Horizon National. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that is one that, from what you're saying, seems to be front and center as a name that comes up when many large investment banks, after slicing and dicing, to use your words, do their due diligence. That's the symbol that seems to spit out more time than not, correct?
Exactly.
Great.
And I have a lot of faith in the research, too. So as a matter of fact, that's where I got my idea for TCF Financial, which I named in my takeover stock report last summer. And lo and behold, TCF agreed to be merged with Chemical Financial several weeks ago. So I have faith in this idea. You know, I can't say for sure it's going to happen, but I wouldn't mind buying the stock and waiting.
By the way, I mean, isn't it a great feeling when you wake up and you find out one of the companies that you mentioned is getting taken over? Am I right? Isn't it just a
visceral? I remember.
I was
a retail broker back in the 90s, and I walked in one morning, and American Cyanamid was up like $30 that day from a takeover offer. It was totally cool.
That's great. I mean, yeah, I mean, look, I date myself. I started in the business in 1982 and started my brokerage firm in 1988, Robert M. Cohen and Company. So I have, you know, I started when the Dow was at 760 plain. So I have seen tremendous amount of M&A activity over the years. And again, my show, which is Takeover Talk, which I believe is the only national show that focuses solely on identifying potential takeover targets. I mean, I get the luxury of, like I tell people, and I can't speak for you, Krista, but maybe I can. What I do when I'm on my two shows on BBSRadio.com and BlogTalkRadio.com, you know, this isn't work. This is fun. Am I right? I mean,
it is.
You know,
I love it.
Krista, you're my new friend. So, I mean, I get from you that, you know, you're smiling now. You're having fun. And, you know, you could only do something if, you know, and be passionate about it if you like what you do. Am I right? And I get from you that you really dig what you do.
I do. I'm a numbers person, and I'm a calculated risk taker. I've been very active in politics. If you talk about calculated risk, you know, I have like a hard outer shell, so I'm not going to get easily flustered, and that's important in the stock market because people who are emotional in the stock market always do the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Yes, yes, I totally agree with that, and you know, like. You know, to your point, you know, sometimes you got to do opposite. You know, when emotions are running high, because it's as we, mm-hmm. you and I know, you know what moves markets, what moves stocks, greed and fear. So when you have extremes, and you're able to act on that in a proper way, you know, in dollars and cents, you could probably make yourself a few dollars. Am I right?
Yeah. Back in the fourth quarter of 2018, you know, it gets really boring and frustrating when the market's just down, 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 right? But I'm
Correct.
Writing to my people, and I have thousands of people reading my newsletter, and I'm telling them, look, just hang on until January, that when you have a stock market correction during the same quarter as you have tax loss selling, it's going to be ugly. But I told them, look, the moment January 2nd arrives, all the tax loss selling is over. That's the moment the market turns around and goes back up. And it did. But I wasn't like, you know, pulling guesses out of a hat. To me, that's just logic. And so I urged everyone to position themselves to be ready for the market to rise in January. And I'm happy it did. And now I'm telling them, look, the market's going to trade sideways for a while because it needs to rest after the huge January run-up. So to me, this is just all logic, but, you know, I hold people's hands in writing as I convey to them, look, you can do this, and I'm here to help you.
Now, Krista, could you just do me a favor? Tell my listeners again, what is your newsletter, and if they wanted to get a hold of you by email and possibly, mm-hmm. you know, sign up for your subscription or whatever your service is, how could they contact you?
Okay. First, if they want to read, you know, the marketing stuff about my newsletter, they can go to CabotWealth.com. Cabot is C-A-B-O-T. And then there are, like, I don't know, maybe 8 different newsletters, and so you can read about all of them, and mine is for people who want growth and value combined. If they want to email me, it's Krista@CabotWealth.com. And Krista is spelled C-R-I-S-T-A.
Okay, that's great. And again, if anybody needs to contact Krista and you do not have a pen and piece of paper, you could always reach out for me at takeovertalk@AOL.com, and I will get you Krista's information, and so you could contact her directly. Now, Krista, we have a few more minutes here. My next question to you is there any one idea that you have right now, any one specific idea that you have now that has been more front and center on M&A than any of the other situations that you have written about currently in mm-hmm. your newsletter? Is there any one? I know you had mentioned yes. to me about a company, TiVo,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And I
yes.
know that
so what's
is a
happening
name.
There.
Yes, because that's mm-hmm. a name that I had identified months ago as well. And again, the usual suspects on TiVo, from what I had mentioned to my listeners, was, you know, Amazon, Google, and even Apple as potential acquirers of TiVo. So tell me why you have TiVo on your radar screen.
The company has been undergoing a strategic review for a while. And strategic review is, you know, Wall Street speak that means we're willing to be bought out. We're willing to split up our company, to spin off a section of the company, to sell a section of the company. And the reason that they do these things is because they believe that their share price is way too low. Versus the inherent value of the company, and they are trying to find ways to bump up the share price by selling all or part of the company at a far more fair price. So TiVo's been undergoing the strategic review for at least a year now, which is unusual because usually when they say we have a strategic review, usually it's done within a couple months. But at this point, they definitely said that they are going to give us the results of the review when they report earnings on February 26th. Now, I'm not necessarily expecting a big buyout announcement because if there were one, they wouldn't wait until February 26th. They would make the announcement on the day that the two companies finally agreed to it. However, between now and February 26th, we still might get some very interesting information on TiVo. In addition, people can get a very low share price. It's a profitable company, projected for nice earnings growth in 2019 with a huge dividend yield. The dividend's up around 6.7%, I think. And
wow.
The dividend
wow.
has been safe. Yeah. So it's an extremely undervalued growth stock, and it's not the old TiVo from the 1980s, because people think of it that way, but TiVo has state-of-the-art technology products that lots of big companies purchase from them. So there's no particular reason why this can't end up being a valuable takeover target.
Now, Krista, do you, when you mention TiVo, like when you mention other names in your letter, do you put mm-hmm. a specific price target on your names?
Oh, you know what? It's going to depend a lot on the stock and whether there's a real solid trading range. So it's going to depend on the price chart. So if there's a company that used to trade up to 42 and kept falling back down, and then the stock market correction came and it's at like 28, I'm gonna have people exit when it gets back up to 42 because there's just going to be such strong price resistance at that point. But not all stocks have very clear upside, you know, targets. Another thing that might cause me to keep or sell the stock is the valuation. If the PE remains really low, even if the stock just doubled, if the PE is still really low, I'm probably going to keep the stock. I'll move it on to hold for a while. I'll tell people, look, we got all the action we're going to get for the time being, but it might start rising again in a few months. So I try to be as clear as possible so that people can understand where they have an immediate opportunity and where they're going to have to wait.
Like, just circling back on TiVo. Now, mm-hmm. these are my words, not yours. I believe when I identified it as a potential takeover target months ago, back in 2018, I believe I read that there were certain price targets that people thought it could reach on a potential takeover, and the number was anywhere, now I'm painting it with a very broad brush, anywhere from $15 to $20. I know TiVo is currently trading a little bit under 11 today. Do you feel that is a realistic target, 15 to 20, if it was to get taken over?
I would imagine anywhere between, this is somewhat of a wild guess, but I think between $18 and $25.
Wow.
That would be my guess.
That's a handsome premium. And again, TiVo does have proprietary technology, correct?
Absolutely. And the other thing is they're supposed to earn, at this point, they're projected to earn I think, $1.27 per share this year. So the price-earnings ratio, even if it got bought out at 20, the PE would be less than 20. And, you know, when a stock gets bought out, the PE is usually pretty high upon the buyout, like 30 or something. It's never in the teens or in the single digits. So just based on earnings growth and valuation, there's a lot of room for the share price to jump if a takeover offer emerges.
Okay, yes. So that was TiVo. And now before I let you jump, I have one other sector that maybe you could opine on. I've had a couple people call in. One gentleman in particular who's hit it cold. He's been perfect on it. And it has not gotten much love over the last few years, Krista. It's the precious, it's the precious metal space. And we saw a couple very significant generals merge recently. You know, Barrick and a couple other large ones. Does that is that kind of the canary maybe in the coal mine that maybe finally there's going to be some M&A activity in the precious metal sector? Do you follow that sector? And what's your opinion on that?
Okay, so I don't generally follow precious metals. The closest that I can come with commentary is steel stocks, which have been undervalued for quite a while. And despite all of the talk about trade problems and tariffs, steel companies have not been suffering. They're making money. The price-earnings ratios are really low. So there's one right now in my Cabot portfolios, and that's Commercial Metals. The symbol is CM as in Mary C.
I'm sorry, CM what?
CMC.
CMC, Charlie Mary Charlie, Commercial Metals.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
And that's a
aggressive earnings
growth. That's a domestic domestic manufacturer?
Yes, it is. Domestic manufacturer run by a woman, for people who care about that kind of thing. Very low price earnings ratio, down around 8, whereas earnings are projected to grow 36% in 2019. And there's a dividend yield of 3%. So it's got lots of attractive qualities to it.
Okay. Okay. Again, commercial metals, not saying that you believe it's an M&A target. It's just something that's on your radar screen. You've done your homework and that you would recommend people take a hard look at it, correct?
Right. It fits the same profile in terms of growth and value as almost every, pretty much every takeover stock I've had in the last 3 years. I choose them all based on earnings growth and low valuation, and then many of them end up getting bought out. So there's no particular reason why that couldn't happen with commercial metals as well.
Okay, that's great. Okay, Krista, I have to tell you, I enjoyed the 20, 25 minutes that you called in. So this has been Krista Huff, my new friend, right, Krista, who is the...
Exactly, chief, and we'll meet soon.
You got it. Krista Huff's my new friend and is the chief analyst of the Cabot Undervalued Stock Advisor. And Krista, I want to say thank you, and I just want you to know you have an open invitation to call anytime on any of my shows. Okay, Krista?
Thank you, Bobby. I appreciate it.
Thanks again, Krista. Bye-bye now.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Krista Huff, my new friend. And yes, Krista Huff is one savvy analyst. And she runs the Cabot Undervalued Stock Advisor. And yes, I would definitely get in touch with her. You know, you may want to think about getting her newsletter. You may just want to think about it. She's, you know, you never know where you get your next best idea from. And to me, it seems like Krista Huff is one smart individual, and you're only as smart as the people you surround yourself with. So if Krista Huff is my new friend, then you can consider her your new friend as well. Okay. All right, I have approximately 15 minutes left here, so let me get back to, I was talking about Allergan. AGN, the very large pharmaceutical company that is known for the manufacturing of Botox. And believe it or not, this stock's trading at approximately $133. Crazy how, I believe back in 2015, I believe, I'm trying to find it right now, 2015, yes, Allergan was the subject of a takeover, I believe, by Pfizer. And it was 2015, and the two agreed to merge in a deal at $160 billion, to Allergan. Now, you're sitting down? The price for Allergan, if that takeover was to go through, was $363.63. That's right. You heard me correctly. $363.63. The stock's trading at $133. However, that deal was nixed in 2016, driven by an announcement by the Treasury Department, which the companies concluded qualified as an, quote, adverse tax law change under the merger agreement. So, fast forward, we are in February 2019. And I do believe that Allergan is sometimes subject to these rumors again about possibly hooking up with Pfizer. Not saying there could not be other large pharmaceutical companies looking to merge with Allergan as well. So I just felt I would be remiss if I did not tell you to all put Allergan, A-G-N, Allergan, on your radar screen. This could be a potential takeover target. And again, I am aware that Allergan has been subject to takeover rumors in the past as well. So factor that in and put Allergan on your radar screen. You know, another company that I wanted to mention to you that has been extremely volatile, especially the last few weeks, and could be a potential takeover target, is the food delivery company Grubhub. That's right. Put Grubhub, symbol George Robert Uncle Boy, on your radar screen. Grubhub has a 52-week high of $149 and a 52-week low of approximately $66.70. Last time I checked, Grubhub was trading at around $78.70 today, and it was down, well over $7 today. There has been plenty of takeover chatter on Grubhub. Do your own due diligence. I know they just came out with their quarterly numbers last week. You could probably go online and find out what some of the large investment banks think about Grubhub's numbers and what they think about Grubhub going forward. Okay? Now, keep in mind, the number one company that when I read about Grubhub possibly being a potential takeover target, who do you think shows up? Who do you think shows up? You got it. Amazon. Amazon is the name that continues to come up when I read about Grubhub possibly being a potential takeover target. So put Grubhub on your radar screen as a potential takeover target. A company that I had mentioned recently, I'm going to mention it again. It was again trading well earlier today, and the last few days it's been trading extremely well in a lousy tape. A biotech company that I had mentioned a few times called Portolo, and the symbol is Paul Tom Larry Apple. And again, this company has been trading extremely well in a lousy, lousy tape. I believe Portolo was trading at approximately $28. And the names that come up as potential takeover acquirers of Portolo Pharmaceuticals, names as, you know, Johnson & Johnson. My belief was Bristol-Myers, but Bristol-Myers, as you know, is in the middle of a mega, mega merger with Celgene, so I don't know if that would be a logical buyer of Portolo. But J&J's name comes up, and I also believe Pfizer's name comes up as well. Keep in mind that it's my belief that some of the board members of Portolo, that their pedigree revolves around M&A, which is obviously, you all know, mergers and acquisitions in the biotech space. Not saying that that is going to lead to an acquisition of Portolo by any of the major pharmas, but just know that they have that pedigree. Many of them have already done large acquisitions in the biotech space. So it would not be new to them or to some of the board members if there happened to be an M&A transaction with Portolo Pharmaceuticals, symbol PTLA. I want to finish up, just so you know, with Tesla, symbol TSLA. I saw the stock was up like $9, $10 today. There were two upgrades. I believe Wedbush was one, and I believe Canaccord Genuity, based out of Canada, was another one. And I believe Canaccord Genuity had a $450 price target on Tesla. I think the stock is currently trading at around $313, so that would be a handsome premium. I had thought that I just wanted to throw this out to all my listeners, and this is just me throwing it out. Okay, this is just me throwing it out here. Because, you know, there's been talk that a natural acquirer of Tesla would be Apple Computer. You know, to me, that makes sense, too. You know, if you Google, that pops up. I believe, this is just me, that maybe a proper structure would be that if Apple would take over Tesla, maybe it should look something like this. Okay? I'm going to throw this out there. That a Tesla shareholder would get 2.5 shares of Apple stock. That's 2.5 shares of Apple stock for every one share of stock that they own in Tesla. So with Apple trading at approximately $170, 2.5 times that would be approximately $425, which would be a nice premium to where it's currently trading. But if Apple stock would trade better, let's just say double from 170 over the next couple, 3 years to 340, well, that would mean by definition that $425 would be worth $850. Because sometimes the bone of contention of people, and I listen to what people say, shareholders say, that they believe that Tesla stock is worth a lot more than what anyone could pay at this moment, this second. So maybe, just maybe, if Apple was to acquire Tesla, if they were going to acquire Tesla, that maybe that they should do an all-stock transaction. And I came up with the number on the back of the envelope. I just wanted to throw out 2.5 shares of Apple stock for every one share of Tesla stock. Just throwing it out there, okay? Again, that's why this show is Takeover Talk. I just try to identify potential takeover targets. It's for you and all my listeners to do your own due diligence. Wow, my hour is up. This was a great show. If you want to contact me, please shoot me off an email at takeovertalk@aol.com. That's takeovertalk@aol.com. It's an honor to serve all my listeners. I will speak to you soon. Thank you, and bye-bye.